Hello and welcome. This is a special midweek Bible study from Reedy River Bible Presbyterian Church. I'm Dr. Charles Roberts, the pastor of the church. And in these days, we are doing things by video and audio, given the virus pandemic. So today, I'd like to share with you a passage that is on the minds of at least some people. And that is one that is often brought to mind at a time of national crisis, a time or even personal crisis. But because it speaks of healing the land, most often when a nation or a people are facing some major problem. And that is 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, which, as most of you may know, the Lord speaks and said, "If my people who are called by my name will cry out to me, I'll forgive their sins and heal their land." That's sort of a broad way of what it says. We'll get to it more specifically in just a moment. But as understandable as it may be that people would want to read that verse, It does have a context, and so it's important to get the context of what that verse is talking about, because it is not just simply a magical formula that we can use to throw out to the Lord when we're facing a national crisis and ask Him to heal the land. There's something more to it than just that, as important as that may be. And the context is 2 Chronicles chapter 6, where King Solomon is dedicating the temple to Yahweh, and he makes this prayer and this plea. And notice what he says in chapter 6, verse 24, reading from the English Standard Version. He says, "If your people are defeated before the enemy because they sinned against you, and they turn again and acknowledge your name and pray and plead with you in this house, then hear from heaven and forgive the sins of your people, Israel, and bring them again to the land that you gave them and to their fathers." And it goes on then to describe a number of calamities, including pestilence and disease and famine, that is linked directly to the sins of the people and asking the Lord to forgive those sins and heal the land. And interestingly enough, there's also a passage in verse 32 of 2 Chronicles 6 that is another thing that's often overlooked or not even mentioned. Solomon prays to the Lord, "Likewise, when a foreigner, when a non-Israelite who is not of your people comes from a far country for the sake of your great name, and your mighty hand, and your outstretched arm, when he comes and prays toward this house, hear from heaven your dwelling place, and do according to all that which the foreigner calls to you, in order that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, and do as the people of Israel, that they may know that this house that I have built is called by your name." And then it's in the context of Solomon making that plea that we come to chapter 7, verse 14, which is the verse that many people are familiar with. I'm going to read it, and the verses following. The Lord, in responding to Solomon's prayer, says, "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer." This is verse 15 and 16. "That is made in this place, for now I have chosen and consecrated this house, that my name may be there forever. My eyes, my heart will be there for all time." So we see, again, there's a little bit more to this than just simply that verse 14. One of the things that is important to realize in verse 14 is the fact that we have a conditional statement. We have, more broadly speaking, an if-then statement. So, in other words, if I say I have two apples and I add three more, that then means I have five. If I have two and I add three more, then I have five. If I get in my car and put in the key and turn the ignition, if I do that, then the car will crank. So we have this relationship, if this, then that. And that's what the Lord is saying here. If my people who are called by my name, and we're going to look at that in more detail in just a second, then it's when these other things happen. But let's consider what it is the Lord is saying here, and understand that these people clearly believe that the calamities that have come upon them, or that will come upon them, because this is forward-looking, as Solomon has said, if this happens, when this happens, because he knows the people are going to sin at some point, they understand that these things just didn't happen haphazardly. To put it in the modern context, a disease, a pandemic, an epidemic, whatever you want to call it, just doesn't come out of nowhere. A lot of people want to pin it on this group or that group. Some people want to say it's all because of a seafood market in China. Other people say this, other people say that. The big biblical picture is that all these things have happened because of sin and idolatry. This is the biblical perspective. And let me ask you right up front, how many of your political and religious leaders are telling you that part of the story? This is why this has happened, and this is the key to the solution. Yes, do the medical stuff, but if we don't approach this from a spiritual standpoint and recognizing as God's covenant people, this has come upon us for a very specific set of reasons. So he says here in Isaiah 7, verse 14, if my people who are called by my name, so this is a specific group of people. This isn't just everyone broadly. Now he does in the previous chapter mention the foreigner, but the promise is first and foremost to those who are called by the name of the Lord. And in case you don't know, the Lord means truthfully and sincerely, not nominally. Not just, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh yeah, I believe in God. And then you don't act as if there's even a God who exists. How do we know if, in fact, we are bearing his name and we are his people? Well, the Lord has given us very clear guidance about that. And the most important way is that do we faithfully, as best we can, by the power of God's Spirit, obey his word? Are we obedient to his will? Do we recognize that God's law is sovereign, that his word is sovereign, his plan is sovereign? Or is that competing in our hearts and minds with other plans, other laws, other beliefs? You see, the things that would motivate some people to cry out to God in a situation like this, oh, look at all the evil sins in our land, the abortion, the sexual perversion, all of these things, those are but symptoms of a much deeper problem. And that's what the Lord is talking about here. We are no longer his people because we are not called by his name. We prefer to call ourselves by other names. And we're looking to other sources for guidance, for help, for deliverance. So he says then, if my people who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. So what does it mean to humble yourself? Well, among other things, it means to admit that you don't have all the answers. It means to be willing to say, there is something bigger and greater than we, and we are beholden to it. We must be submissive to it. It's a recognition of yours and my and our leaders and our country's own limitations. Without God, we are nothing. And I think this is a key. I mean, this goes all the way back to ancient Israel. They had the same problem. You see this time and again in the history of the Old Covenant people. We want to be like the other nations. We don't need God's prophets. We don't need God's guidance and God's word. We want to be just like everybody around us. So it takes humility to admit that we've gone down that path, and humility to admit that, no, we can't do it on our own. We must exclusively be guided by God's wisdom. And pray, cry out to God, as the Catechism teaches us. We call out to God for things that are agreeable to his will and in line with Scripture, in the name of Christ. And then seek my face. That means to really, literally go before God, to focus on him, to have that kind of close relationship to him, and then turn from their wicked ways. So all of these things hang together. The recognition of humility, the desire to be clearly identified with God's people, and then turn from their wicked ways. There's a recognition that whatever problems we're facing as individuals, as families, as a community, as a nation of people, it is related to turning from our wicked ways. And it's interesting, the word turn there. Now, in the Greek text, I'm reading, of course, from the ESV, and the Older Testament, as we know, is written in Hebrew and Aramaic. In the Greek text of the Older Testament and in the New Testament, the word associated with repentance also is associated with the idea of turning and going, doing an about-face and going in an opposite direction. So he's telling us here to turn from these wicked ways and also to remember that that turning involves a lot more than saying, okay, I'm no longer going to get drunk. I'm no longer going to be drug addicted. I'm no longer going to practice sexual perversion. I'm no longer be in favor of abortion. I'm no longer going to be watching unclean and blasphemous entertainment. Those are all a part of it, but there's a more deep-seated issue. And that issue almost always revolves around idolatry. We worship some other god. We obey some other law. The Lord says we must turn from those things. And if we do that, then, so here's the if-then relationship. He says, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. This is the solution to the current crisis. I mean, even if the political leaders and the medical industry came out and said, okay, everything's fine, go back to work, no problem. Who are we? What have we done? What have we accomplished in being happy about all that? Of course, we all want it to be that way. But have we really learned a lesson of what's being given to us in 2 Chronicles 7:14? And like everything else, it starts with governing ourselves according to God's word. We must personally seek God's will. We must personally be identified as his people and to seek his face and to pray and humble ourselves before him. Because if a nation is not doing that, it's because the people who make it up are not doing that. So it starts on this very personal level. And let us pray as we move forward in these days that the Lord will give us his blessing and his guidance as his people. And I exhort each of us, including myself, to draw closer to God through the study of his word, through the practice by the power of God's Spirit of his law, that we may be considered by him his obedient and faithful people. And may he deliver us from these times. May the Lord bless you as you continue to study his word, and we will see you for the next study. Amen.